This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to a very special edition of the Create Unknown. Thanks to all of you, we had an incredible year. And before we do more, we've got Meat Canyon, Rusty Cage, Cordwit, and others coming. We wanted to recap some of the absolute best moments of 2020 as chosen by us and our patrons. We've got Jay Schlatt, we have Michael Reeves, iDub, Psychic Pebbles, and more. But we're going to start with Justin Wang, whose retweet is actually coveted currency in the YouTube ecosystem. He's also got a theory about the Boogie Gun incident, too. Here we go.
It's funny, too, what you mentioned with my retweets, that like the horror of it. Because one of like the lesser known phenomenons of my retweets, sometimes like a very small account will post something really funny, so I'll retweet it. And every once in a while, they'll like delete it or go private because they don't like the attention, even if it's like positive attention. Wow. It just bothers them.
That's weird.
They want to remain lurking at all costs.
Yeah, they want to just like talk out into the world without being seen.
What is the point of that? It's just like shouting into a void. And then when the void shouts back, you cower.
Like, I get it when you, like, if it's, like, something where it's someone had a dumb take and everyone's shitting on them, but that's always been the weirdest thing that happens every once in a while. And
has a retweet ever gone wrong?
Has a retweet ever gone wrong? I mean, yeah. I mean, it goes wrong every time I retweet it, and then it'll be, like, a very, like, dry, sarcastic, or ironic joke, but someone will take it literally and go into, will explain it to the person that made the joke with like a well actually kind of post, and I'll be tagged in it. So I'm like, oh, this is embarrassing.
There's always someone doing the well actually, no matter where you are, whether it's on YouTube or where you're on Twitter. And I mean, there was something I read where I had originally read that like 10% of people do not understand humor, like cannot get different forms of humor, like say sarcasm, for instance, as a form of humor. Like, would not understand that you would say something, but the intention is to mean the opposite of what you say. So, you know, if 10%, that's a lot of people, that's 1 out of 10 that read the thing, think that your joke is very literal, then you're going to get a lot of responses from people who, I mean, Matt, what was the thing you got into weeks ago with someone? Gosh, it was on Vsauce 2 Twitter.
I can think of a number of situations that started out like that with Matt.
Yeah, it just turned into this like contentious thing, like so unnecessarily, where Matt was obviously joking and it ended up being like a 19 tweet back and forth conversation with the person.
Oh, yeah, I remember that because it got strangely deep. It wasn't like 2 or 3 replies. It was many, many replies. And I can picture the thread in my head, but I can't say what it was about. I know that I replied to a tweet of yours where it just obviously was a joke. Like it would be very difficult to read that and not know that it was completely tongue-in-cheek. And yeah, a lot of people took that very literally and didn't let go of it either. And then the fault was mine. You know, they claimed that the problem was me not realizing that it wouldn't be taken as a joke. There was no sense of responsibility.
It was the swimwear one, wasn't it? Where
Oh my God, yes.
I found this. Okay, so people hate Tumblr, right? Anytime I've ever linked to Tumblr, it's like a lot of negativity. But Tumblr has amazing images that you can't find anywhere else for some reason. I've found So I still go to Tumblr because there are a lot of really weird accounts that post like old video game ads. I sent one old video game to you once, Justin, that was like an old Sega Genesis
ad. Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember that.
It was super cool. Yeah, so anyway, so I follow like a lot of retro computer accounts, a lot of like 80s accounts. Anyway, this image popped of these people wearing swimsuits in like an old computer room from 1983. Like the kind
Wait, I think I saw that. There's like this, I think this account on Twitter, Computer Aesthetic or something like that. That's I think they account, posted yeah. that. Yeah.
That might have been who it was. So I posted it on Vsauce too, because it was such a weird photo with the caption, swimwear was mandatory for using computers in 1982.
God, and so it's like, no, it isn't. This isn't true. You're making this up.
And then Matt,
I used a computer in 1980s and we weren't wearing swimsuits. This is false.
So a kid replied, obviously as a joke, saying, I don't know why this would be mandatory. And so I replied to him saying, if you don't understand why, you're never going to make it in this game.
Oh, God.
Like, you're never going to make it in the tech sector or something like that. And that unleashed like a dozen people who you know, said it had nothing to do with computers. Like I was wrong about that. And then when I said it was a joke, no, it wasn't clear that it was a joke. So I'm the one with the problem. And I'm just looking at this thinking like, I can't give up on this because it's just too weird. Because
it's so stupid that these people can't see this really. Like, it's not even like a subtle joke. It's very obviously a joke. And they're just refusing to understand anything besides the most literal aspect of it.
Like, if I have an opportunity to engage in a conversation with somebody about why you don't have to wear a Speedo when using a computer terminal, I'm gonna get in that conversation, and I'm not gonna go until it's over.
Sometimes that's the game you gotta play, where for their sake because they're lost, but for the enjoyment of the people watching, you gotta take what they're doing and like go even harder. You gotta like. Whatever brain situation they're coming at you with, you got to double it for comedic effect.
I looked at it thinking, all right, this person is troubled by what's going on, but I'm sure there are a bunch of people who are looking at this, you know, having a ball watching it go down. So I'm just going to keep going.
There's a part of me, and I realize like Boogie is not going to like me saying this, and Frank probably isn't either. And I've realized I'm going into like Montreal Screwjob levels of conspiracy theory here. Like, I remember how like Scott Hall said it at the end of the fucking Montreal Screwjob Dark Side of the Ring, and everyone told him what a fucking idiot he is about it. But despite the fact that there is legitimate police reports, despite the fact that I've had people privately mention things that were trying to lead me to believe that this whole thing is in fact real, there's still a part of me that wonders if there's like an aspect of this that is a work. And I feel like guys like Boogie and people like around him, like they've all got that like that pro wrestling brain where it's like if you have the opportunity to take your keeping kayfabe into real life and even trick your friends and family, that's an exciting thing. So I feel like if obviously it was fake, they wouldn't tell us it was fake, right? But they might tell people privately. But I don't know. There's a part of me that thinks there might be a work involved here at some point.
What's the end game on that, though? So if they concoct this plan, it's crazy. They do all of this. How does it play out to be a good thing for Boogie especially? How does this work?
I honestly don't know. But I feel like in the there's like the kind of like a there could just be like a blanket idea that it's like it's good. You have attention on projects. Whatever it is that you're doing, you get attention and it just becomes something, even if you don't have a clear mastermind view of what it is. And I 100% know if Boogie hears this, he's going to be pissed that I said this because he like he went off on Monday and Matt for saying this. But
yeah, just the other night. Yeah.
I mean, it's probably
Monday and Matt asked him this and it was 30 minutes. He asked exactly that question that you just posed. And his point of view was that I'm looking at the evidence here and it seems worked up. You know, he just asked him if it was. And Boogie spent 30 minutes completely freaking out on him for having the audacity to even question whether it's real, and then culminating in asking him if he molested babies. So that was a bit odd.
Oh, yeah.
But he was trying to make a rhetorical point there that I don't know if it worked. But he's vehemently, vehemently denying that it's remotely possible that any of this could be fake. But at the same time, you're looking at it. We're all looking at it and thinking, yeah, there's a portion of this that kind of seems funny.
Yeah.
Wait, for I mean, people,
it's, well, for now people... it's in territory, though, where, like, the truth of this could never, if it were fake, that is, the truth of it can never, ever, ever, ever come out, or these guys would be in such big trouble, like, more, way more than they would be in now for what's went down.
Michael Reeves is one of our favorite evil geniuses, and he's got a unique workflow that runs parallel to his overall mystery. And a little bit about a piss cup.
Yeah, yeah, so much harder. It's because, like, I have a really just dumb way of working on videos and stuff in general. Like, it's just, like, even the way I film is, like, all... I don't film at all and then go to edit. I'll film, the, like, the intro, and then I'll go to Premiere up in my room, and then I'll put it in, I'll edit it all together, and then I'll go downstairs, and I'll film, like, the next scene, and I'll take the SD card and, like, fucking scamper upstairs and do the whole thing again. So I do it in, like in, you know... I edit while I film, which is weird. I it's just always how I've done it, and just the only way that kind of makes sense to me. I'm not able to, like, visualize a whole ass video just off the rip. That shit's hard. So I kind of like Legos, Mega Blocks, building it kind of as I go. It's just easier to visualize for me.
That makes a lot of sense now that you say that, though, because there are so many different scenes and so many different setups, and there'll be, like, split second jokes that it does seem like it would be kind of impossible to do all at once. Like, I was telling Matt earlier, what video of yours was I watching? There was some video where you you were doing a montage scene, like you were getting ready to build the thing, and you have, like, a big whiteboard, you know, covered in calculations and drawings or whatever. But then the scene is you just drawing, like, a crudely cartoonish penis on the whiteboard. Yeah. And was it. It was like a split second joke. And that's a lot of setup for a 1 second joke, because you have that whole whiteboard with like that, like, looks very serious, and then you just draw a dong. And then the next shot is you, like, reading a book, and instead of the classic, like, lick your thumb to get, you know, some texture on it, get some spit on it so you can grab the page, you just start, like, sucking. You just start, like, deep throating your finger.
It's so gross when people lick their fingers to pick books. So I want to make fun of it for a second, you know? You just fucking turn the page.
But it's are those jokes the thing you did just one day? Like, one day you're like, I'm going to come up with some jokes for this montage, and then, like, that's the extent of your work on the thing for that day, and then you edit it together, and then the next day you work on the next part of the video? Like, how is the sandwich made?
I don't know. I'll go upstairs. The intro is usually the hardest part, actually, because it's like I'm going from nothing to build off of. It's like a Minecraft block. You can't just put it down in the end in space. You need, like, something to build off of. But once I have the intro, like, I'm like, okay, what would go next after the intro? Like, what would make sense to go here? And then, like, I'm like, okay, I'll go film that. That's like, I don't know, if I'm a dumbass and I say some stupid shit, then that's a joke in there. But it's just like, do one thing, and then I go and edit all together, see how that works. And I'm like, okay, it would make sense to do what this next thing, and then, like, some other shit. It's very hard for me to do anything else. I don't like the other way where you just film everything, plan it, and then... That's why it's hard for me to, like, actually work with people. As much as I, like, would like to do collaborations, it's just, like, I just have this brain-dead style of filming and editing stuff that makes it difficult. So this is... my piss cup project.
Oh, okay. We're gonna need plentiful description for the audio episode of what's happening right now.
Oh no, my battery. This
said
is
that so
a
matter
funnel
of factly. So okay,
and
sorry.
A flow
sorry.
Meter sensor, right? This is a funnel and a flow meter sensor. And so when you put liquid through this, you can detect the interrupts on this little ESP32 board, which is like it's like an Arduino that smokes crack. It's an Arduino that connects over the network. It can do WebSocket. It can do HTTP stuff. It's very cool. And so I go to the bathroom just so much on stream. Because I have this my bladder popped once when I was in high school. I'll tell you about that later if you want to hear. But I piss a lot, so I track it with this. I'm making the building of this on stream. So I'm gonna put this in my toilet. We're on like the later stages of the project. I piss into the funnel, and then it sends that data to a WebSocket server on my computer that makes an OBS overlay for my stream that is a cup filling up with piss. And there's like combo meters, and I'm data logging everything in a Mongo database. And so you can call it back, do data science on my piss. It's like, I can't make this a video, but I think it's fun, and I like doing it on stream is badass.
Why
really
can't
cool.
you make it a video? I learned because we're gonna make this a highlight on the highlights show.
Well, I like this. This is fun. More, I'm not super like, oh wow, piss cup. It's more fun that I get to do all the technical stuff on stream for content, and then like the actual application for this is me gonna be like a couple streams just pissing into it, and then take maybe doing some like data analysis on like my piss stream. Like it's very cool. I got like a database set up, and we did like data logging. And you can make graphs out of like how much I'm peeing, like a curve. That stuff is just so fun for that's what streaming is for me. It's like a dump for all the shit that I think is kind of cool but don't want to make a video out of.
That is a literal stream.
Yes.
First of all, second of all, what is a combo when it comes to peeing? How do you combo your pee?
I don't know. Well, you can treat the data any way you want. So it's like every time the cup fills up, a little combo meter flashes on the stream. Combo one, combo two, combo three, as many times as I can fill a cup. It's very fun. Okay.
So it has cool. to do with the amount. Okay. How did you pop your bladder?
Oh my God. It's like right now, as I'm talking to you, I am filled with piss. I need to go to the bathroom. But in not high school, maybe a year after, I was at a sushi place with some friends. I was just like drinking water and like drinking a lot of water. And I had like many cups. I had to piss really bad, but you know, I wanted to pay for mine. Got to like the back of the line. It took for goddamn ever. They didn't have a bathroom in the sushi place, so I had to go to the mall bathroom. I went to it, and I needed to piss so bad. And like, you know, as you're like undoing your belt buckle, like you suck in, right? So you can get the belt buckle undone. And so like, as I went, did that, I felt like a physical pop in my abdomen. And it was painful. It was like almost audible, probably more to me because it was in my body. And I like, I did my piss, but I was like getting super lightheaded. And and like my vision was getting gray on the sides, and I had to like sit on the ground outside for like 15, 20 minutes to just recuperate. And after that, I was fucking fine. But now I feel like I hold half as much piss. Like I need to go to the bathroom all the goddamn time now. So that's kind of where, you know, piss cup comes into play. On my stream, I'm pissing 10 times, 15 times a stream. Now they get to see how much I'm peeing on this OBS, the stream overlay, which is very, very fun. So I got to work with a lot of technologies for this. Like this is like so many technologies put together on like a dumb project. I got to learn how to use, like I had no fucking idea this existed. Someone suggested that I use this in my chat on my stream. And I was like, what the fuck is ESP32? I go learn what it is on stream. I learn to work with it. And it's cool. Like you learn new things, like just by doing random shit.
Jay Schlatt was one of our most popular episodes of 2020. He tells us about an exceedingly warm Captain Sparkle's mansion experience, and it gets even more heated about cereals and cereal residue.
I know Captain Sparkles, when he bought his Ford GT, like that fucking supercar that he keeps in his garage, he had to get like approved for it. He had to send in an application, and Ford was like, yeah, you're cool enough to buy this car. Apparently you can only get it if you're like super rich or like have some huge following.
A Ford GT?
Yeah, it's like this shit that you just see in Need for Speed. Like I didn't think I'd ever see one in real life.
Oh, I'm looking it up. It's insane. Yeah,
Ford GT supercar, Captain Sparkles, that Minecraft money, dude.
Yeah, mining those diamonds. Yeah.
Captain Sparkles is like fucking narcissist, bro. We showed up to his house early this year, I think. It was in January. We wanted to know where he, because we were doing this whole shoot week thing for a group we had made. And we were chilling in a house in Hollywood Hills, this nice big house. And we were like, oh, well, Jordan's in the area. We might as well try to link up with him and film some stuff. And we go to Jordan. I DM him, or Carson DMs him, and he goes, well, what's your address, man? Well, we want to come over and shoot some stuff. And he goes, just Google it.
What?
Yeah. Okay. Because apparently he had all these articles written about him about where he lives. So he's like, yeah, just fucking Google it. And so we Googled where he lived, and then we rolled up and we went inside. He let us inside, and dude, it was fucking 95 degrees in his house. And he shows up in this huge fucking mansion. Everything's white and tidy. Like there's nothing on the house is immaculate. He shows up in a black shirt and black sweatpants, and it is a fucking like greenhouse. it was like the most rich person thing I'd ever seen in my life. It was so fucking hot in his house, and he was just sitting there.
Why is that a rich person thing? Well, why would you want it to be 100 degrees?
Well, no one else. What?
It's called air conditioning.
Kevin, no one else is gonna. I know this man has air conditioning in his house. I know for a fact he does. But, oh, dude, no one else keeps their house that hot, except unless you are this egomaniac rich person. And that's nothing against.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
How is it a flex? I don't understand. He's the
heating,
logic.
He's overheating just because he can. Just is that a real theory here? Why'd he stop at 95 then?
I don't know.
Why not hit triple digits?
Could have been a little hotter than that. But the second I stepped in, I just immediately started sweating. Yeah, he had his.
It was hotter inside the house than outside?
It was hotter inside.
What?
It was hotter inside than it was outside. Because his house is all glass too, you know? It literally was a greenhouse.
Oh, okay. Sounds that way.
Yeah. So, yeah. Then,
I'm wondering if this is some sort of like sauna thing, like a health maybe thing. Maybe it like is. Some sort of LA guru thing where you're like, just sweat out the toxins,
man. Maybe it is,
man.
But
like,
I had never heard of it. I mean, usually if you want a sauna, you go to a sauna and, you know, you have that room that's hot, not the whole house. But again, it just supports my theory that it's some rich person shit. You can turn your whole house into a sauna. Dude, it's the fucking Minecraft money. And then he took us into his garage.
Yeah, but he was nice enough to let you
over.
He was nice enough to invite us in. That was nice of him. He could have just said, leave me alone.
He could have. He very well could have just said that. But it does. It gets worse. It gets worse, guys, because he was like, yeah, let's go to the garage. And we go into the garage and it's a little cooler in there. This is where he stores his fucking supercars. And the Ford GT is in there, and it's, you know, one of the most beautiful cars I've ever seen in my life. He doesn't let me touch it or anything. And so right next to the Ford GT that's sitting in the garage is a framed photo of a picture of the Ford GT in the garage.
That's pretty meta.
The dude literally like took a picture of the Ford GT sitting in his garage, printed it out, and then put it up on the wall.
As if he forgot
what it looked like. What part of the serial tier list upset you?
Well, as soon as you drop this,
let me guess, Raisin Bran
in the Discord,
because you're old. Yeah. Fucking you, what do you
Colon
like? What do you
blow
like?
Fiber cereal. Well, our champion. Our overall champion was Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and you've only got it at B tier.
Okay.
And I think
very easy explanation for this. Okay.
Okay.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch is a great cereal. I love Cinnamon Toast Crunch, but there's a better option available, and that is French Toast Crunch. You guys ever tried that?
I haven't.
I didn't expect you to.
I have.
Why is it better?
Because it's just a better tasting cereal. It's a better tasting cereal. It doesn't really cut the roof of your mouth. The fuck are you talking about? It tastes like maple syrup. It's delicious. And there's no residue. Mm. If you shovel the fucking shit out of the box, like I usually do, instead of just eating it with a spoon, like a normal person, like I said, like I'm a fucking caveman, dude. I just eat
residue
cereal out of the box.
A feature.
Yeah, what residue?
Residue is a feature, not a bug when it comes to cereal.
What the fuck do you mean? What residue?
You want a slimy reminder of the experience.
No, you don't. Listen, I do. I eat cereal when I'm multitasking. I'm fucking editing when I'm eating cereal out of the box. I need no residue. I'd be scooping that shit, all right?
What is the residue?
You cannot work with residue on your fingers. And Cinnamon Toast Crunch is the fucking number one suspect when it comes to getting residue.
What? How does Quisp make A tier? Have you had
Quisp before?
I don't think so.
So why are you even asking? Why are you asking the ranking of Quisp if you've never had Quisp before?
There's the O's in S tier.
I gotta give you the rest. I haven't finished my fucking explanation about the Cinnamon Toast Crunch. All right, you're getting me off topic. Okay. French Toast Crunch is better than Cinnamon Toast Crunch, so it has to be lower. Cinnamon Toast Crunch has to be lower than French Toast Crunch, right?
Sure, that's fair. Yeah.
When it comes to maple syrup cereals, though, like French Toast Crunch, there's a better option than French Toast Crunch, and that's the Eggo cereal, which is just like immaculate. That is the best tasting cereal I've ever had. And so that means that French Toast Crunch has to be lower than Eggo on the tier list. So if you do the simple fucking math, Tabber, you get the fact that Cinnamon Toast Crunch has to be B. That is the highest it can go.
Okay, oh so it's God. It's just a logic game at this point. So how does
Tabor?
Reese's Puffs?
I don't give a fuck. Reese's Puffs is fucking candy.
How's that
dude.
So low? Yeah, why wouldn't that make it high? I mean, how do you put that at C?
Because I feel like shit whenever
like
I eat it.
Objectively, a good experience.
It's not a good experience. Oh, but you don't eat Reese's Puffs and then go
when you eat
I'm ready to have a good day. You don't.
You feel good about
yourself.
You don't have a blood sugar issue when you jam crunch berries in your face.
I feel great about myself. I feel terrible when I eat all berries. Oops, all berries. Fuck you. Because that's like Reese's Puffs. That's just fucking gluttony. You're eating oops all berries. It's disgusting. I really miss Waffle
Crisp. I think we had Trix high too.
Fuck,
our people voted Trix really high.
Trix sucks,
and I wasn't. I didn't.
I'm
get
not a
that.
Big fan of Trix. That was our patrons like Trix.
Trix is a disgusting cereal.
I don't know why there's so much love for Trix, but it was really high. Like I think it was in the final vote for the best cereal.
What?
And I kind of at a certain point you just step back and realize that sometimes your community is monstrous, and you have to let that play out. And that was one of those points where it's like, yeah, I don't understand anything about what's happening right now, but if they want Trix, they want Trix. Thank God it didn't win, but I think it got second.
I want to say two things really quick here. One is that I've never had Eggo cereal, so I Googled it. And when you Google Eggo cereal, a picture of John Riggs comes up. And if anyone who doesn't know who John Riggs is, he does YouTube, he does gaming videos, but he's obsessed with cereal. Schlatt, do you know John Riggs?
I have no idea who it is.
Okay, if you're a cereal guy, then you're going to have to look up John Riggs because he is like the cereal guy.
He's the cereal guy?
And the fact, dude, you Google Eggo cereal and a picture with his face shows up. What?
Really?
I mean, come on. That's amazing. Yeah.
I see a thumbnail where there's he's holding a box of Morning Summit, which looks like some granola kind of thing. And it says worth $13. Like, I'm just intrigued on how he's getting cereal value to that degree.
I see him.
Like, why he's pumped about a $13 cereal.
He's obsessed with cereal. He's the cereal guy.
Hard to get cereal. Sometimes it's hard to, you don't see it on the shelf. You got to buy it on Amazon for like $10. I mean, that's the deal with Quisp. It's never in the never on the shelves. Never find Quisp anywhere.
Wait. So then my second question has to do with residue. I want to talk about residue. So residue is the stuff on your hands, you're saying. It leaves
a
mess when you eat with your hands.
Residue is the sugar that's left over when you shovel Cinnamon Toast Crunch out of the box.
Okay,
that's
so
the shit that gets left on your fingers.
Then how do you feel about things like Cheetos.
I don't eat Cheetos.
Or Doritos.
I don't eat Doritos.
None of those snacks, because those are so much worse.
If I'm eating Doritos, I'm eating Cool Ranch, which leaves rather little amounts of residue in comparison to the original.
I'm sensing some inconsistency, and I don't like it.
No.
Okay?
I don't think I know what you're talking about.
We need to hold you to account here, because you've got a problem with finger residue, right? Mm-hmm. You don't like it to the point where you don't eat Cheetos.
Yeah.
How did you open this recording today eating the number one finger residue food in the United States, meaning wings? You were eating wings. You had blue cheese. You had a blue cheese disaster. And then you come on 43 minutes later and have a problem. Oh, I don't do finger residue. This is the bullshit lie.
I got
that,
one
that
word
happens
for you.
When you get involved in the campaign.
Shut up. I got one word for you. One word. Fork.
Fork?
Were they boneless?
Were they boneless? Or you eat a bone in?
They're basically chicken tenders.
Okay.
Oh. Tendies.
Fork. Okay.
Why didn't you specify boneless wings when
I didn't want to seem like
you
a
started
pussy.
Talking about wings?
Yeah, those aren't even wings.
You see, Kevin, I knew that if we pushed on this, if we pushed just the right spot hard enough, we would get him to break.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not saying I'm a perfect person by any stretch of the imagination. I have flaws. I've done despicable things, you know. but this is one thing I'm going to stand strong on. I mean, I think boneless wings are a decent alternative to regular wings if you're in a bind and you need something to you know, be quick and, you know, you relatively residue free because you eat them with a fork. If you look at my tier list of all the cereals, you'll see that, I mean, most of the cereals I like are just completely residueless. Sure, you'll get a little bit of sugar on your hands maybe, but like
they're fairly clean. Yeah,
they're fairly clean. Fuck, man. I can't deal with Cinnamon Toast Crunch's residue. And I mean that has to have been in the back of my head, you know, subconsciously as I decided to give it a B. I was just like, that is the, when you're talking about cereal residue, Cinnamon Toast Crunch is literally the first thing you think of.
It's S tier residue.
Definitely. If we're making a residue tier list, that's fucking S tier.
Isaac had a really good suggestion in the chat about cereal liquid tier list, because that's a completely different thing. Like, you can have a mediocre cereal that leaves a really good liquid after.
Yeah.
And probably vice versa.
That's true.
And that would be interesting. Nobody's done this one. And I think somebody should.
It's not a bad idea at all, to be honest. I mean, most people would go with like a chocolatey cereal, I imagine, like Cocoa Puffs, I guess. But I don't know. I don't really like drinking chocolate milk in the morning out of a bowl. Is that just me?
Don't they sell this now? Isn't this a thing where they'll, what? Am I wrong, where there is like cereal milk that you can buy? It's just the milk
and it's there's flavored definitely like a flavor. God, is it like a Fruity Pebbles milk or something?
That sounds nasty.
Because that has, Fruity Pebbles milk is famous for being kind of what it is. There's nothing quite like it. And I'm fairly sure that's a flavor of milk. Fruity
Pebbles milk?
Milk.
All right, I looked it up. This does exist, or at least it did, and maybe it went out of business. But I see Frosted Flake cereal milk, Cinnamon Crunch cereal milk, and some sort of peanut butter cereal milk. I don't know if it still exists, but it did at one point. I wonder if you just chug it.
That's gross, dude.
I think you'd sip it. I don't like whiskey.
Am I the only person that pours a reasonable amount of milk into the bowl and doesn't go overboard with it? Like, I'm not sitting here with a full bowl of milk afterwards that I have to like pick the bowl up with my hands and sip it. That just seems like a waste.
Are you refilling it? Are you putting more milk in it constantly?
No. I mean, typically what I'll do is I'll start with the cereal, right? And then I'll pour some milk in. And then if I need more, I'll pour more milk in. But like, I'm not a guy who wastes milk. And that's good. That's like some good calcium and vitamin D that you're throwing away if you leave some in the bowl.
Do you follow automotive news? Or do you just like cars and want to see what the heck's going on? Well, then you might like Donut Media's new podcast, The Big Three. Hi, I'm James Pumphrey, and every week, me and my co-host / two of my top five friends, Nolan Sykes and Joe Weber, unpack the latest and greatest in automotive news and trends on The Big Three. You'll also get a lot of laughs, hot takes, and personal insight on cars from the biggest car guys in automotive media. So, Whether you're a hardcore enthusiast or just a person who goes, that's a good looking car, check out The Big Three, available wherever you get your podcasts, or you can watch the full videos at Donut Podcast on YouTube.
Were you disappointed that your PS4 didn't run Cyberpunk 2077 very well? Sumeto Media is about to further crush your gaming dreams.
Because if I said it then, I mean it now. It's like, I don't take back anything I said about Cyberpunk 2077's expectations. If you're upset because it's not running well on your PS1, get a better system. Like, that's it. I'm not apologizing for that. I'm sorry. That's a totally acceptable thing to say to a PC gamer. Hey, your hardware is not up to spec. Get something better. And yet when it comes to consoles, it's like, oh, you expect me to just have money for a PS5? It's only been 8 years. Like, no, step your game up. If you care about this video game enough to bitch about it online, play it properly. What are you, fucking stupid? Imagine complaining that you hated the visuals on Avatar. And you're like, yeah, man, it just looked like so much dog shit on my 480p projector at my grandma's. You didn't experience it the right way. That's your fault.
Sorry, it's only been 8 years thing is very funny. Because it's true. I have seen a lot of people complaining about having to get a new console. And it has been like nearly a decade since the last one. It's like you couldn't scrounge together like $50 a year.
It's ridiculous, man.
iDubbbz jumped into the unknown at exactly the right time to talk about Leafy's ban from YouTube and how we all should approach a more heavily regulated future on the platform. And the fursona question, that went poorly.
Let's talk about your best friend in the entire world. His name is Leafy.
That's a good start, man. I love this. We're getting straight into the good shit. Okay. Into it.
Yeah. What happened to your best friend? Whose video, you know, you had a video that got removed about him. Now he's been removed. What's going on there?
Yeah, it turns out YouTube doesn't like sort of vitriolic content on their website. That's a big surprise. It's not like they haven't been telling us that for years and years. I don't know. It's I tend to like the sort of, Wild West of content, sort of like, you know, anarchy. Post whatever you want, kind of no repercussions. It's really cool, but not super realistic when it comes to a big business like YouTube, whose primary goal is to make money.
So for anybody who hasn't followed along closely on this, Leafy was a content creator a long time ago and made a lot of videos that he kind of ripped on people. That was his thing. And then he just dipped, took off from YouTube. And one of the best content cops that iDubbbz made was a takedown of Leafy, an examination of Leafy rather than a takedown, because a takedown might sound too strong. But it was great. And Leafy kind of dipped off the scene for a while. And there's this meme going around. I think Ethan Klein, I think H3 said, you know, imagine Leafy coming back and trying to exist in today's YouTube climate. Well, he did for a very short while, and he made quite a few videos on Pokimane, like 10 or 12, and some of them had some elements that violated the YouTube terms of service. And just last week, his channel of about 5 million subscribers was completely obliterated by the YouTubes, and that catches us up to this discussion of the landscape now. You said vitriol. How do you define the vitriolic content?
How do you define it? I don't know. I'd probably have to remind myself of the exact definition of vitriol, but essentially, you know, ripping on people. I think YouTube posted a rule update that gave very clear examples of the type of things that they don't want to see. And, you know, it's not just, you know, criticizing other people, you know, it's making fun of like intrinsic attributes. I made fun of it in one of my videos. I had said, one of the examples was like calling a person a disgusting creature. Look at this disgusting creature's face, that kind of thing. And, you know, it's very reminiscent of the video I made on Leafy. It was like very kind of offensive and, you know, made fun of characteristics that he couldn't, you know, prevent. You know, it's not like it was a very fair critique or anything like that. It was just to bully. That was like the whole point. So, you know, when you say things like that, you kind of got to, I think at this point, expect that YouTube isn't going to like that.
We talked about that with John Swan a couple months ago because John made a video criticizing Suzy Liu for what he said were false copyright claims, just a kind of a litany of problems. But in that whole thing, he mentioned a part of her face that I can't use the word, but it's above the eyebrows and below the hairline, that entire area. He just, you know, mentioned something about like one line like that. And his video got killed and he took that line out and re-uploaded and, you know, it was good. The video still stands. It's almost 2 million views now. But that was another one of those cases where just pointing out some physical characteristic, for example, is going to get your video shut down at this point.
Was the Leafy content cop taken down because you made fun of his chin? Like specifically, do you think? Was that it?
I mean, yeah. There's probably a lot of other stuff that I said in the video, but I mean, it was mainly like, I don't know, the whole video was bullying. That was like kind of the point. And yeah, I think it was just making fun of the way he does things, the chin, whatever else. And I think the chin was primarily it. You can look at every other content cop or video critiquing people that I've made, and you'll find that none of those were removed because I largely don't make fun of people's, you know, physical characteristics that they can't help. Why was it the Leafy one? It's like, it's pretty obvious, I think, by this point.
So what was your reaction when they did take it down? Were you just like, yeah, I guess so?
Yeah, I mean, I made a brief video mentioning it was like in the opening of the video, and it was like, yeah, it's like, what are you going to do? Of course they've removed the video. I don't mind at this point because I'm not really banking on like that type of content. I knew it was very offensive at the time. And, you know, now I have other stuff that I could, you know, make instead, which is, feels really good. I could see other content cops being removed in the future. And I can't say that it would really be too surprising, right? Because right now they're honing in on this idea of criticizing people for physical characteristics or characteristics that they can't help. And that makes sense. What you'll notice is that most commentators choose not to criticize that stuff because society as a whole has deemed that to be an irresponsible or stupid thing to criticize someone over. So that's why you see, you know, I mean, really most commentators are just going to commentate about people's decisions or actions. And that's going to be it because we've decided that that's okay and good. But, you know, it's funny that me making fun of Leafy's chin is going to be removed before videos about the N-word, right? But that's going to be the next one, right? Because that's still offensive. So it'll just keep going, but it's not like what people say, I think, with the whole slippery slope thing, or it sets a scary precedent. It's like, it's not a scary precedent. It's exactly what's expected. It's going to keep happening. If you want to continue to make that content and or support that content, just fuck it. Like, if you think there's actually an audience for it, you have to go on Patreon or Gumroad or one of these websites that'll allow you to make it without fear of losing your, you know, ability to make it.
Yes, we do have one more question for you. And it's a question that we ask all of our guests these days.
Yeah, I noticed that. I watched that in one of the previous ones. What is my fursona? Is that what you're going to ask?
What is your fursona? Yeah, what is it?
Yeah, probably big old sweaty nutsack.
That's it?
Yeah, that's my fursona.
Nothing else? What else? Is it wearing a top hat or anything?
Oh, I forgot. They add details, don't they? Yeah, with like a cute little bow tie. yeah, maybe my, I don't know, got stinky breath, something like that. So I start all my conversations with, how do you do? is that what the fursona thing's all about? My arch nemesis is... I don't know.
Give me some help here, fellas.
Your arch nemesis?
Well, are you guys persona? Why are you asking this question if you guys aren't even... What are your personas? Let me ask that.
No, that's not how this works.
What the fuck? What are you going to announce it in the final episode? All right, guys, we're closing it down. You've always wanted to know what our personas are. Here it is.
Yeah, exactly. That's the last episode of The Create Unknown. And then it turns out it was all just a dream. Okay, so Nutsack with a top hat and a...
Not a top hat, a bow tie.
Oh, bow tie. Like Ms. Yeah. Pac-Man.
Yeah.
Is it going to have a little mustache too?
A little pedo stash? Yeah, that's a great idea. You guys sell down in a Google Doc or like a spreadsheet or something?
Yes, we have people to do that for us.
No, that's a good idea.
Glozell lent her camel milk experience in a quest to tell us all about how not to manage money. And oh my God, the leeches.
It sounds like such an LA thing to me. Like, and is that how that goes when you're in those circles? Eventually, right. You've done all the things and like somebody introduces you to something like leeches and you're like, yes. Well, I got to try that.
It's like, oh my God, if you try putting 14 karat gold all over your body, I have not. Girl, where do you get that? Well, dude, like, why do I need gold on my body? What? Well, this makes no sense now when I'm like, I need food, you know? I use gold, you know, in my crack. You know, like, why did I need? I didn't need that.
Did you do that? Did you put gold on your body?
Yeah, I'm telling you the
like,
truth.
Like, Kevin. Oh my gosh! I'm
done. Okay.
So how does this happen? Do you go like strip down to your underwear and then cover yourself in gold leaf for half an hour?
Yes, or longer. And I've been in oxygen chambers, so it's just so amazing what the Singleton Foundation is doing, because it's taking people, especially hopefully before they get to the outrageous things, because I mean that's what you want to do. You want people who are outrageous and you're trying to keep up with the Joneses, and at one point you are the Joneses, so you coming up with crazy things that your friends want to do, you know. I was like, oh, let's just drink camel milk. Okay, let's go get that. Okay, like why? Because everybody else drink cow milk. We don't drink no cow milk. Or some almonds. Who want milk an almond? But let's get a camel. You know what I'm saying? That's $30 a bottle. And the bottle's this big, you know? And let's take a bath in it.
Iggy is one of our absolute favorite YouTubers and social media personalities. And the first thing you really need to know about Iggy lore is the school shooting problem, okay? And after that, we get to his freestyle TCU rap. And you mentioned the Oregon thing. If anybody listening doesn't know exactly what happened there, can you give a really brief summary?
Certainly. So basically, I'd kind of been a little bit of a pariah on 4chan due to the fact that I was on there a lot, and I identified myself, which was kind of against the culture. You know, it's an anonymous thing. But due to certain things that had happened over a couple of years' time, I had began identifying myself. And so eventually people got really sick of me. They felt that I was just kind of, you know, I wasn't in tune with the right kind of culture. And so we kind of had a little spat and I sort of went my separate way. But following that, I went on a road trip to, you know, sightsee and things like that. And I ended up going out to the West Coast, the Northwest. And while I was out there, I uploaded a video telling people, oh, I'm out here right now. So if anybody remembers me from 4chan, you know, I'm kind of lonely. So if you want to hang out and get lunch or whatever, just hit me up. And the next day in Oregon, there was a shooting at a school. And the person who had allegedly been the perpetrator had posted on 4chan saying, I'm out here, I'm going to do this. And there was a quote that has been sort of, it's infamous now, of like, some of you guys are all right, don't go outside tomorrow and stuff like whatever it is. You know, some of you guys are cool, don't go outside tomorrow. And so all of a sudden, boom, the shooting goes on. Immediately, somebody sends in a tip. Oh, there was this post on 4chan. Immediately, like, okay, 4chan guy in the Northwest. So they start putting things together. And then, of course, I had this YouTube where I'm talking about all kinds of things that sound like I'm a crazy, antisocial, you know, isolated, a loner, radicalized by the memes and whatever else. And so people put this together. They're like, oh, I bet they would totally believe that he did it. And just as like a fun thing, you know. And yeah, they did. They immediately, you know, it was just like, whoop, you know, instantly And I didn't even realize it. I didn't even realize it because I had woken up that day and I was getting an oil change on my car before I went back to the second half of my road trip. And I opened 4chan to read some things and I pull up on my phone and it's just like, picture of my face, picture of my face, picture of my face, picture of my face. And it's just like all across the whole site. And I'm like, something is not right. Something is not right here. but I didn't realize it hit the news until, because I didn't have any social media. And then I opened up my phone and the only thing I used was Snapchat. And I opened up my Snapchat and all of a sudden I had like 100 new friend requests and I start accepting them. And it's Fox News and it's New York Times. And they're all trying to like, they're sending me Snapchats like, hey, can you like snap me back? Are you alive? Or did you kill people today? And I'm like, you know, all this stuff. So yeah, that's basically what happened. I didn't do it. I was sort of blown up for a minute until people realized that it wasn't me. And then it all kind of died down. But it was sort of like this big spotlight, this national spotlight that sort of like, you know, was my first big exposure.
Yeah. So that's that's the kind of ultimate wrong place, wrong time combination of like 17 different factors that result in something really bizarre. I mean, you mentioned, look, I think it's safe to say that nobody wants to open their phone, go to 4chan and see a dozen pictures of themselves. Like, this is definitely going to go badly if this happens to you. But what happened, like, in the, what was the aftermath like on that?
Well, actually, the way that I handled it was following everything. Like, I still had all those people added on Snapchat and they still were continuing to message me. They wanted to have me be in the newspaper. They wanted to get the scoop from me. Oh, how did this go? And my reaction to them was I basically cussed them out. I'm like, you're out here, you're saying I did all this awful stuff. You don't even know who I am. You don't know anything about me. And now you want me to give you a story that's going to get your paycheck for the week or whatever. You're getting something for you. I'm getting nothing, you know, except maybe like a few minutes of, like, I'm not complacent. I'm not involved with what you're running. I'm not with that. I'm not going to give you anything. Don't talk to me. Don't just, you know, I basically cut the line. Now, I actually did. There was a couple of guys who were more sympathetic to what I had gone through from like Storyful and like something else who I did continue to talk with them like on the phone from time to time for some months afterwards, just kind of like getting some, they were kind of giving me some life advice and things like that. So that was all right. That was pretty decent, I guess.
And because you have such a unique talent for freestyling, I was hoping perhaps you would be open to the idea of doing an ad read for this episode of The Create Unknown as a freestyle.
I would be extremely happy to do that. So you want me to just get right to it? Just go right in off the top of the dome?
Yeah, the stage is yours. Yep.
All right, hold up. Okay. All right, this is your boy, Egg White. You know we're checking it in. You know we keep it hotter than the skillet. I know that you feel it. Oh, I'm talking about the realest. Let's get it. All right. Ooh. Ooh. I'm out here on Create Unknown. You know, listening to it through your phone. Headphones in your home. Boy, you know we put you in your zone. Go and throw the dog a bone. Throw the girl, she get it gone. Yeah, you know that we've been on. For a couple hours long. Ooh, yeah, a couple hours strong. Ooh, yeah, my words, I got that ping pong. Yeah, they got that bounce. Oh, yeah, they got at least a pound, not an ounce. Kilogram. You know that I am the man. Me and Kevin, yeah, we're gonna jam. Me and Tador, I mean Tabor. You know we never bore. Never. You know that when we shoot, we score. Ooh, we're on top of the board. Yeah. Ooh, running the points up. I might be thumbing them joints up. Yeah. Talking about the paper. Ooh, we cannot see a hater. Nah, boy, you try us, we'll annihilate you. Yeah, we're talking through logic and facts. Yeah, you know we kicking it like a kickback. Yeah, you know I feel like a pimp named Slickback. Ooh, yeah, what else? Oh, you know you ought to tune in ASAP. If you haven't been listening, boy, you better listen now and lately and yesterday and today and tomorrow, boy. If you don't got enough dollars for the Patreon, $2, boy, you better borrow. It shouldn't have much interest, but we got a lot of interest in everything that we do, so you better listen in on YouTube. Ooh, let's go.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, that was amazing. Thank you. Sana Chu, occupying the body of Christine Weston Chandler, explained everything about the upcoming dimensional merge, and her Twitter followers know that that merge began a few weeks ago. Sana Chu has had a hell of a run on the internet and gave us the best 3-second highlight in the history of the Create Unknown.
I'd love to get a sense of what's next for you, like in terms of your projects. I know that you mentioned that you're looking into getting your books published, which sounds like a really big project. What else is going on? What are you thinking about creating next? What are your goals?
obviously we're continuing the book series. It's still a continuous, and you know, never gonna reboot our series, never gonna reboot our lives, because your book is just like, yeah, that's the fun thing about C197. Development, the growing rate is varying depending on individual, and it's even more depending on those who chronicle us. We typically would age around as normal, if not as slower age rate. But depending on the creator, we can either really age slow or age normal, or normal in your terms, or fast. But essentially, yeah, in C197. Lisa Simpson is an adult, and she's been running for president against Herbert Garrison, who's Donald Trump's South counterpart there.
Who's going to win? Who do you think is going to win?
Lisa Simpson's going to win.
Or is that what you think?
Wait. Hold on. Lisa Simpson is Joe Biden, and Mr. Garrison is Donald Trump?
I'm not saying that Biden is Lisa's counterpart at all.
Oh, okay.
I see.
I mean, post-dimension merge anyway, she will be the president of the merged dimension of the United States post-merge anyway. So that's kind of that's a fade thing right there that, you know, I mean, I shouldn't be giving too many spoilers, but I mean, Matt Groening already pretty much gave that spoiler, you know, that future episode.
Mm-hmm.
There's right. That. That's one spoiler I can definitely indulge in, letting y'all know about.
Can you give us another spoiler? It doesn't have to be a serious one. It can be anything. Like, what's something that, excuse me, what's something that we would never expect that we're going to get after the merge? Is there anything cool?
Yeah, let me wrap it up a little bit. I'm not giving you a sponsor or anything, but thank you.
Cool. Is that good?
Yeah.
I wanted to try it.
The reclosable tab. There's a plastic. I learned today there's a plastic thing underneath that literally keeps it sealed. So, you know, when you close it, it closes that seal.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Huh.
Anyway, something
that else. Was a can of Mountain Dew Gamer Fuel, by the way. Yeah, just for our listeners. Yeah.
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 It's awesome.
Let me see. What else can I say? What else can I say? Post-merge.
Is there actually, is there anything that is too scary to tell us? Like, are there things that you know that you really don't want, that nobody else can know? Is there a burden of holding those things in?
Among which, yes, but in the end, everybody's going to continue living in a good, healthy, coexistent type of lifestyle, except now it'd be like between, you know, regular, normal people who previously were considerably regular by this dimension standards, but in the post-merge, you're going to find heightened abilities, especially amongst the content creators, authors. but you see my point. Everybody's gonna have increased abilities post merge.
Sure.
So yeah, there's that. There's that one. But also later on, we're gonna have like a mighty powerful force that comes from another galaxy that we're gonna end up having to face together to help defend this planet from. But that's hold up for another kettle of fish right there that I'm not going to go too much into. But hey,
it sounds like it's going to be a wild ride.
Yeah, but yeah, hey, everybody will get to meet like Bruce Wayne, Clark Kent, Tony Stark, Captain America. They get inside Kim Possible, Mario. Everybody get to meet. Everybody can have a chance to cross paths, meet their favorite OCs and FCs, and even their own respective OCs and. You know, even go to Equestria or another planet on an ease and so forth. So that's definitely awesome. Gonna be good.
Odd Guy, also known as Easy Peasy, was really our first truly controversial guest. His episode is a must listen if you haven't heard it already. He speaks for Encyclopedia Dramatica, so he's got a unique perspective on where we draw the line for making fun of people or not at all. So we just talked about, you know, big things and kind of general things.
Yeah.
What about a specific scenario? So, you know, Kevin's entry wasn't bad. You know, it really was.
Yeah, we didn't have
there's no basis for any of it.
My mustache is bad.
And so somebody just.
Yeah.
I recognize that. You think I don't know that? I know that.
There's nothing in it that warranted, you know. Getting a hard time about whatever. Yeah. It's just a goofy thing, right? But What if an individual is really affected by the criticism and the ribbing that they're getting? So if it is on that Ethan Klein level where you load up the page and the first thing you see is, a naked butt being made fun of, which, by the way, it's not like that was an iPhone hack and a leak.
He posted those
photos himself, and, you know, now it's being used against him on that page. This is one person kind of experiencing a fair bit of misery so that however many people on the internet mm-hmm. can laugh about it. What's the calculus there? Like, at what point is that not okay?
Well,
or is it always okay? If one person is laughing at one other person, is that weird? Is it okay when it's a million people laughing at one?
Okay, well, there's several different ways to think about it. Some people used to view it or still view it that troll communities generally only really go after the degenerates, so to speak. People who sort of have it coming. They don't go...
The mechanophiles.
Yeah, the mechanophiles. Like, again, Kevin's article is... No one's going to read that and have a lesser opinion of Kevin. They're going to... that's fine. They're making fun of Kevin a little bit. If he had done something worth making fun of, that article would be a lot larger, and there would be a reason for it to be a lot larger because he had done something to warrant it. The articles are consequences of people's behavior. We may hyperbolize, but we rarely randomly make things up. Everything on these articles are things that we believe are, if not likely to be true, are possible to be true, or that if we were to write them, someone would read and think that's not true. That's just bullshit. That is clearly a joke. The worse person you are, the more critical the article about you is going to be, but that is completely a consequence of things that you've done. So again, if we weren't to make these pages, someone else on some other place on the internet would still be making fun of someone for their behavior. If you don't want to be made fun of on the internet for things that you do, don't do things that people will make fun of you for. That's really all it is. People have this desire to, I guess, partially overshare, partially not realize that the internet is still a real place. There are people on the other side of that screen, and they are critical of you and your behavior. That when you put something on the internet, unless no one saw that and you deleted it immediately, they can still find it. When you go onto the Twitter and say something like, for example, general example, not anyone specific, you say something like, I molested my sister and now everyone knows, and then people bring that up to your face over and over for the rest of your life. You chose to molest her and you chose to publicly share that. So the onus is on you, in my opinion.
And is there any kind of, what do they call it? The right to be forgotten, where people have sued to try to get their names erased from Google searches and things like that. Is there any element of that that's appropriate?
I know that's a hard question because, you know, on one hand, I'll say this, if what you've done is big enough, is horrible enough, people will not forget you. It doesn't matter if you can get a few people to stop talking about it. If you went ahead and stabbed some guy and then you went to jail and you got out, people will look up your name and they'll find out that you stabbed some guy. The person who sued Google and asked for the right to be forgotten, the thing he wanted off of the internet is that he, I think, got arrested for not paying a parking ticket or something. It was some sort of traffic violation. Okay. If he had simply not made a big deal about it, he would have been forgotten because no one cares.
Yeah,
you will be forgotten if what you did is not worth remembering. You will not be able to silence every single person.
Is that the Streisand effect?
That is the Streisand effect.
Is that what they call it?
By the way, Streisand effect is trending on Twitter right now because of the Biden thing. And that's a great example because I'm not going to get into details so your podcast doesn't get banned, but a political article was posted on the New York Times and both Twitter and Facebook are trying to delete it from existence under the auspices of a variety of excuses. But that is the only thing on my timeline. I cannot get away from it. I was not even going to read the article. I just retweeted it without looking at it. And I kept seeing it so fucking much that I ended up saying, okay, I heard a weird sound.
Greg had to come back.
Okay.
Yeah.
that I ended up saying, okay, fuck it. If I'm going to keep seeing this on my timeline, at least I should read it. If there wasn't this big of a controversy, I would have never even bothered to look at it. The more you try to get rid of something, unless you have an unbelievable amount of power, or unless that is something that virtually no one cares about, you will not be able to make it go away. The only thing you'll do is draw more attention to it. The best thing you can do when people make fun of you is not to acknowledge it. Do not bring it up. Do not go on Twitter and make vague posts about, hey, some guy wrote something about me on the internet. Because if you write that, people who follow you on Twitter will go out and look and try to find what is it that someone said about you. If you had never mentioned it, no one would know that there is something to look for.
And Psychic Pebbles continues to be an amazing guest, probably because of the life advice you're about to hear. And as a bonus, we get Because I Betcha.
The great reality is if you put the emails off for like a day or two, and then you respond to like 5 emails or 10 emails or whatever the fuck it is in one day, then those 10 emails respond back, and then it's like you got to do it all over again. It's a never-ending... Do you have that where it's like, all right, you put it off for one day and then you feel good about yourself because you knocked out like 15 emails in a day and then all 15 emails respond with something else? And it's like, it's never ending. It's like a bucket of water inside of a sinking ship, you know?
The only winning move is not to play.
Yeah, to quit all of this and go be a painter in the middle of Illinois and delete all of your social media. That's the only way to win. Go start a painting business in the middle of Illinois and raise, impregnate some beautiful 26-year-old and they have 15 children with her. It's the only way to really be happy in this fucking horrible world we live in. Hide Easter eggs around your fucking $30,000 house. It's a 10-bedroom because you're in Illinois.
Why is Illinois to you like the most desolate place?
Just
on
Iowa, anywhere, Colorado, anywhere in the middle of the country, flyover country. Go there and buy a $30,000 house, but it's a 15-bedroom. And you got 15 kids, and you have Easter egg hunts, and they go, Daddy, Daddy, I think. They run and they pick one up, and you go, you tussle their hair. And you're not thinking about emails or fucking subscribers or Keemstar or Pro Jared. You're just looking at the happiness in your son's eye, the genuine love of family.
So this is your escape plan. You've thought about this.
Yeah.
This is
I'm out of here, dude. I'm out of here. Are you kidding me? This sucks. You're going to raise children. Are you nuts? I don't like waking up at fucking 4 p.m.
One of the reasons I wake up at 5 in the morning is because the neighbor has a bull that this bull bleats really loudly. I don't know if it's called bleating when it's a male.
A bull? Like, what do you mean? You mean a bull?
Yeah, like male cow bull. And that kind of wakes me up. And so I've got like half of what you just described. I don't have any of the kids, but I feel like now I should go talk to Maura and be like, look, we should have kids. And it's not because I want kids. I just need to stop.
It's not because I like you. I just want the kids. Yeah. I just want the, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but
it's
pro
Jared all the time in my head. I can't stop. And there's only one solution to this.
You already do this with the Easter. Zach's making fun of the Easter baskets and the Easter eggs.
I genuinely love the Easter. I want that in my life.
No, he forces his lady friend to give him an Easter basket.
He gets up at 5 a.m. He's eating vegetables and turkey and whatever else. And he's got a bowl next door and he has Easter egg hunts.
Yes.
I want this guy's life. Let's do a body swap. Let's switch. Let's trade.
It must be 20 years where I've woken up on Easter morning to really nice Easter basket. I've never had one of the hunts for eggs, but I got I like black jelly beans a lot, and so I usually get a bag of the licorice jelly beans and some mini eggs and stuff like that.
Do you get those ridiculous chocolate rabbits that you bite into the fucking ear that's hollow? Do you get those things every year?
I used to when I was a kid. I did, especially Palmer is a company that makes those hollow rabbits too, and I came to resent Palmer as a company for.
Oh, you think it's a scam because the inside's hollow and it's not full of chocolate?
Yeah, I did see one at CVS yesterday that was on clearance because it's past Easter, and it was hollow, but it was huge. Like this rabbit was easily 2 feet, and I think the weight was like 2.5 pounds. So that, as far as hollow chocolate rabbits go, was really cool, but all the little ones are just awful.
This is what adulthood is. It's talking about the size and the girth and the weight of a chocolate rabbit at CVS. For all you kids out there, this is adulthood right here. Easter egg hunts and wake up at 5 a.m. and the absolute size, the incredible size of a hollow Easter bunny at CVS.
It's all we have left.
Yeah. It's all downhill from here.
I think we need goals. That's the problem.
Yeah. Goals. See, if my goal was to eat that whole chocolate rabbit, I would have been, if I had seen that rabbit, I probably would have been bummed out because I would have thought, I'd never buy that rabbit. Someone's going to buy that rabbit. I'm not going to, who do you think does buy those gigantic two pound rabbits? Who's buying that?
I think you could give them to a gaggle of children and just say, like, hey, you four kids, why don't you split this big rabbit?
But just let them take it apart like a zombie movie. Just let them have to destroy it.
It's like Night of the Living Dead 3.
Just unleash them on it.
Its intestines.
Yeah.
I personally want to thank you for including the breastfeeding scene. Because
that's what I was just going to mention. That's what exactly where say I was about going. It. I was going to say that I wanted to Zach to know that he has created unknowingly the funniest thing in the world to you, Matthew Tabor, and that's the Because I Bit You video, which you showed at the Gremlo Art Show.
Oh yeah, I want to address
thinking about it. I took
that video down. People think I took it down because like Adult Swim bought it. I took it down because it was a contest video. And I was like, I just hate having contest videos that are like, where you watch it, it's like, the contest ends in March 2013. It's like, it just drives me nuts. I wouldn't mind re-uploading it somewhere, but I took that video down and I was like, you know what? That was too funny for it to go to waste. So I thought I would repurpose it. And that's the story behind that. That's me being a hack. But,
I want to tell you what it's done for me and how it's affected.
Yes.
How it's affected my life.
Yeah, I
was thinking about it this morning as I was having coffee before the sun was up. It was very nice. I'm not getting texts at that hour. Nothing's bothering me and I really have time to think. And so this is what I thought about. When I watched that, I absolutely exploded and I had to pause. I had to pause it and it was 10 to 15 minutes of laughing until I was going to throw up. And I was telling Kevin on Slack, you know, I'm sending him messages that are like full of typos because I can't even type properly about how sick I'm getting about this. But then I've spent all the time since whenever the lady asks me something, I respond with, yeah. I if something comes up, you know, just in the kitchen. You know, the best response is, do you know why I had to punish you?
Yeah.
At one point, she may have said that I was mentally ill and she didn't love me anymore. But I don't care. I don't care.
Well, this is my tough heroine, love.
And it feels very good.
You did have to punish her. It's tough love. You know what I mean? You can't, you know?
Wait, I want to hear Zach, you describe this video for people who haven't seen it exactly, like play by play.
The scene from the pilot or the original video that is now in the abyss?
Both.
So the original video, I was doing an art show contest, and I was like, I can't just put this out there as an art show. It's a little bit, I just feel weird about it. Logistically and logically, I shouldn't. It makes total sense to just put it. So I was like, I'll do a sketch before it, and I was walking around downtown of where I live, and I had that idea, and I was like, that's stupid. So I ran home and I recorded it, and it just consists of this ugly, horrible-looking character that's basically just a version of me, a warped, evil version of me, in a big black void, in a huge, gigantic void with a drone in the background, and he's sort of holding this thing by the back of the head. And clearly you're cutting out of the middle of a conversation that something's already happened. You're kind of cutting in the middle of the action. And this little baby has a big bruise on its head. And he says, it's just him saying, like, you know, I had to punish you. Yeah, because you bit me, because you were bad. And he goes, yeah. And so it's just a conversation between a lover's quarrel, perhaps, or it could be a father-son sort of situation. I think the favorite stuff to me is to make stuff and to know there's a story, but to not really know what's going on. I don't even know what happened there. Like, I really couldn't tell you. I made it and I don't know exactly what the backstory of that video is. It's kind of up to everyone's interpretation.
And I love that he has this big day. You know, do you want, are you
it was
hungry?
His big day. Yeah, exactly. What happens? He had a big day in the town. And something, in my head, something had a big day in the town, and then he got too excited. He got too, like, amped up, and he bit him, was what I think would happen. He was, like, too jittery and amped up. That's kind of what I think happened.
And how'd the bruise on the head happen?
I don't think it's even as malicious as him punching him or anything. I think he may have just dropped him in fear, and he kind of landed. I mean, I couldn't tell you what happened. I don't know. I saw exactly what you guys saw. I cut it the same, you know what I mean? Like, I have as much information. It's like when you're walking down the sidewalk and you see like a couple fighting and you're like, ooh, I wonder what started that. I always saw halfway in. I don't know. I think he dropped him. I just can't see him like hitting that kid as hard as he could or anything.
Michael Cusack is hilarious and his animation talent is absolutely stunning. But his alter ego, Lucas the Magnificent, is making a comeback on social media.
I also need to ask you, before I forget, about the neckbeard character in episode one. Because I lost it at that character. Because it's such a trope online and has been for years. This like doffing the fedora m'lady character.
Yeah.
But I've never seen it in a show. And I didn't realize I never saw it in a show until that character showed up wearing what, like a Tamagotchi necklace or something?
Yeah.
In episode one, in the pilot of YOLO Crystal Fantasy. So I just need to know everything about that character. I don't know his name. I don't know if he's going to come back, if he's going to be like continually stalking Sarah or what. But I just need you to tell me everything you know about that character.
I can tell you a lot about that character. His name is Lucas the Magnificent. And around 2014, when I was getting into, I was really into Sacha Baron Cohen at the time. I was on a big Sacha Baron Cohen kick. And I wanted to do like a character. So I came up with this character called Lucas the Magnificent, and I grow a really like shitty neck beard. I can't grow a good beard. So I grew out my beard and I shaved my mustache. So I had this gross kind of beard, and I bought a fedora off eBay for like a dollar and got some reading glasses. And I made this character called Lucas the Magnificent. And you can find him on Twitter at Lucas the Magnif. And the whole idea with him was just to just tweet the worst, most like abhorrent kind of neckbeard tweets. He's like this gamer that lives with his mom, and he's like 23, and he's super into like Zelda and like video games, like Let's Plays, like that type of thing. And I was making him tweet a lot of Game Grumps at the time, like, oh, please let me be a member on Game Grumps. I'll do anything to be on Game Grumps. So it was like that type of stuff. I remember like doing that a lot. It was just like supposed to be a satirical character. I took a lot of pictures of myself with like daggers and like Nintendo 64 games, and was like, you know, you can find it all on Lucas the Magnificent's Twitter. But the funny thing about that was the girlfriend I was living with at the time really hated it. Like, she fucking hated that I was doing this. Like, she refused to go outside with me because I still had because I did this over like a week or two where I was like getting all the pictures of me because I wanted to get like a million pictures so I could just save them up over like a year and release them over time. So I didn't always have to keep this beard. But even just like a week or two was too much for her. She refused to go outside with me. Like, we were going to go to Woolworths for a grocery shop once. And she was like, I'm not going out with you like that. I was like, what do you mean? She's like, I will not be seen dead with you with that fucking neck beard. It's like, oh, but it's for my character. She's like, I don't give a fuck about your character. So yeah, I was a bit of a loner on trying to do that one. But the funny part about that, Lucas the Magnificent, is it actually got the attention of Zach. Zach saw Lucas the Magnificent's tweets because I, as Michael Cusack, must have retweeted one of his, and he was already following me because, you know, we're animation peers at the time. We weren't talking that much at all. But I retweeted Lucas the Magnificent's tweet, and Zach saw him and started being like, oh, this guy's real. Like, and no fault of Zach, because I think like the whole point of Lucas the Magnificent was to try and make him as realistic as possible. So no one thought he was fake. And I remember Zach messaged me and was like, oh, have you seen this Lucas the Magnificent guy? And I was like, yeah. Yeah, he seems like a bit of a nerd neckbeard. Like, we just talked about Lucas very briefly. And, like, I just wanted to see how long I could keep it up for. I just want to see how long I could do it. Because no one knew my face as Michael Cusack. So I was like, oh, I want to see if I can, this character can just like live for a while and no one can guess it's me. But after a while, people figured it out. You know, like there was an article like, is Lucas the Magnificent Michael Cusack? And then I'd get some tweets as Lucas the Magnificent where it's like, oh, you're obviously him. So it got found out. And I don't really keep it a secret now. But I still use that account every now and again if I want to do some Lucas tweets. But sorry, I got so off track on the deep lore of the origin of Lucas the Magnificent. But that then transitioned into YOLO, because at the around like 2 years after Lucas's birth, I was trying to figure out how to put him into some type of TV show that I was trying to develop. I was always just trying to develop projects like that. And he jumped from a few until he finally landed in YOLO Crystal Fantasy as the Australian neckbeard that kind of just shows up every now and again. But he's also in Smiling Friends on Glep's iPad. If you look close, when Alan says, Glep, did you take a paperclip? Like he turns around to Glep, you can see Lucas the Magnificent is on the iPad. That's me actually doing a video when I was living with my girlfriend, when I had to do like videos like outside or when she was at work. So she wouldn't, because she fucking hated it. So, yeah. But it was all for the art.
That's when you know it's good. Yeah, you have to seclude yourself and
if your
and
girlfriend's
like,
pissed
do
off at anything you're doing,
in hiding.
Think, yeah, I think you're on the right track. So, yeah, never let that shit make you not do something, for sure.
And we finish with Happy Console Gamer giving us a rundown on just how to do it. And it's a perfectly positive note to end 2020 on. Tots, Dumpster Crew, Infantry, Babies, Creators, Space Cowboys, thank you. We had an amazing year and we're excited to kick off 2021. Thanks again.
So I try to do three things when I do a video. First of all is number one, please myself. Play a game that I enjoy and really enjoy that experience, or try to enjoy it. Create a video that I think people would want to watch and do some editing that people would semi-enjoy. And think and also do a video that's going to reach a lot of people, you know, type of thing. I've done about 1,000 videos, so I've covered myself. So I want to have a video that just does well, type of thing. So I try to do all of those things, but I don't, you know, I'm very particular about what I play. I don't review Call of Duty games. I don't do that because I can't bring anything to that. That's irrelevant for me to do. There's a lot. I don't play Assassin's Creed games because I'm not really a big fan, but I know a lot of people love it. I'm not the guy to do that. So I think what it is, I pick and choose very meticulously what I'm going to do. I actually, next to me, have a list for every month of the games that are coming out that I'm interested in. Not just every game, only the ones I'm interested in. So for this month, it's very, very simple. It's like four games. You know, Trials of Mana, it was Resident Evil 3, Final Fantasy 7. And I think, there was one game I thought was this month. It's for May. But so it's about three games. Those are the games I've been interested in for the month. So just picking and choosing, you know, type of thing. I don't get burnt out, though. I don't go, oh, no, video games. I'll tell you, though, where I was. Oh, yeah, I know. Like, I escape into video games, not away from them. But I tell you, the one thing that does burn me out is playing games in a very tight review window. So I got the review code for Final Fantasy VII on a Thursday, and I was finished it on Saturday. And it was, a 24-hour playthrough, bare bones. No, I did a few quests and all that, and I did play on Classic mode, which is easier. I'm not saying it wasn't. I'm not trying to say it wasn't. But I needed to the core game to see what it was all about and all of that. So that burnt me out. I was near the end of the game, and I was like, oh my God, I'm dying. This is like, my eyes are going square, or, you know, it was really a little bit tough on that. So some of those can really kill me. I remember Fire Emblem was another one that did that to me. That killed me, doing that one. And my wife was away in Italy at the time, and I was just me. And I was just like, oh my God. I was just doing like 14, 15 hour days playing it. It was pretty tough. Yeah. But hey, I am not complaining. I'm playing a video game early. I'm not complaining. Don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining, but I take it seriously to really get through the stuff and to really give an honest impression. And I always give an honest impression, you know, but I'm playing Fire Emblem. I love Fire Emblem. And it's a great Fire Emblem game type of thing. So yeah, that's how I kind of do all of that stuff.